That's all we think.
Okay, so I wanted to speak a little bit about halachas involving the period of the year that we are once again, we find ourselves in. That's the called the Yomim Bein HaMetzarim, or known as the 3 weeks, 9 days, etc. So we know, of course, that the 3 weeks was the Tkufa when we suffered a lot of tragedies, and related specifically, particularly to the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Batei Mikdash, both Batei Mikdash. And therefore, Chazal instituted various things that we should not be engaging in during this time in order to practice forms of avelus, to remind ourselves of the of these incidents and of the fact that we're still suffering ad hayom hazeh from the ramifications of it, that things haven't changed. We still don't have the base of Mikdash, and Yerushalayim is still not rebuilt. We're still in Golus. So Kol Zman, that's the situation. Chazal wanted us to be conscious and aware of it, and hopefully do things that'll bring about a change, and should be zocha to the Gula. So therefore we have these forms of avelus that we are required to practice. Now the main isurim, things that are mamish osur min hadin, apply specifically during the what's called the Shvua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. They're not during the entire 3 week period, but things the only things that are osur min hadin are a number of things such as, you know, laundry and bathing, etc., which apply specifically during the week starting the Sunday before Tisha B'Av and ending with the end of Tisha B'Av. Before that, even during the 9 days, even from Rosh Chodesh, these things are not osur min hadin, and certainly not during the 3 weeks. However, the mitzad ha-minhug, some of the things that are osur min hadin during that week were extended to begin even with Rosh Chodesh Av, not just the Sunday before Tisha B'Av, but to starting for the first day of Av. And others were extended back all the way to Shavuos HaBetamiz, which hence the concept of the 3 weeks. So one of the things that's mentioned in the poskim that's usher during starting with the beginning of the 3 weeks is rikudim u'macholos, which means various forms of dancing. And the later poskim speak out that this includes not just actually dancing, but includes playing music, listening to music, using, that is to say, playing musical instruments or listening to musical instruments is included within this minhag of avoiding rikudim u'macholos during the entire 3 week period, starting with Shavuos HaBetamiz. So there are a lot of different shailas that come up. This is one of the most heavily asked area, because in this door and for a number of years now, people are very, very into music. It's in the Jewish world, people are very, very into music, playing music, listening to music, etc. And Mimela, when they're told that we have a minhag now, we have to stop, no music, so many different shailas come up. So first of all, the main consensus is that the issur of listening to music is not limited to live music, not only to actually play an instrument yourself or to hear a person live playing an instrument or a band playing instruments, but even to hear recorded music. Now, recorded music over the last few years has increased and increased because there are so many different forms of having music recorded and listening to music recorded with the advance of technology. So, according to the majority of poskim, this is how we conduct ourselves, that's included. Even recorded music is included in the Yisr. And some even hold that while simply singing is not Yisr, meaning for a person on his own just to sing, one person wants to sing is not Yisr, or to hear another individual singing is not Yisr, but that perhaps is only to hear them singing live. Once they're their voice, even their regular singing voice is recorded. There are poskim that hold that hearing it now on a recorded device, whether it was a radio in the old days or a tape recorder or now the whatever other devices, that's considered a klei shir. Meaning there are those that say klei shir is not just when the instrument is producing, like is creating the music, like the typical klei shir of a piano or a guitar or whatever other musical instrument it is. That's pashut, that's called klei shir. When it is a musical instrument. But what these poskim are saying is that even if you record a person singing, you record music, so now, and you play it back on your whatever device you're playing it on, so now that's called using it's like a klei shir. It's a kli, which is delivering shir. And that therefore that's also usher. So going to that opinion, it would be better, you'd be allowed to hear the person singing live, but you couldn't hear him singing on a recording, because on a recording is already klei shir. Now, there are others that disagree with this. Before I say those who disagree, they bring Rabbi Yashav amongst those who are of this opinion, Rabbi Yashav and Rabbi Vosner. Rabbi Moshe Salem Tshuva says not like this. He says he's talking about a radio. For those who remember what that is, he says that hearing music on a radio is not called klei shir. Music meaning, again, music of just a person singing. Not talking about, again, if it's music, if it's played with instruments recorded, that we said already most aser, but I'm talking about if it's just the person singing, the fact that it's now being, it was recorded and being played back, or you're hearing it over a radio or any other recording device, Ramesh says is not considered klei shir, and that others say like that too. So that already, there would be perhaps mokom for a person to be mekel and listen to a recording of someone singing. However, what I'm referring to is simple, basic singing. When the singing is already done in the form of a cappella or other types of singing which are designed to simulate instruments, whether it's in one person or certainly if it's a group of people where they're making all sorts of advanced types of sounds and use it with their mouths or their fingers or whatever it is, in a way that they mamish make it sound like you're hearing instruments, then that's a different story. That's not okay. That's not this original machlokas that I mentioned. There's machlokas I mentioned when it's just a simple person singing, and the fact that this, or as Dr. Moshe and others, the fact that it's recorded doesn't turn into klei shir when you listen to it. But if what the person is doing is he's trying to make you think you're hearing klei shir, so then that is not okay. And I personally have heard, I'm sure we've all heard at one time or another, heard these recordings, and they're very excellent, they're very good, and they really, I mean, I think I mentioned this maybe in Sphere time, I walked into a certain store, and recently, not during 3 weeks, I think it was during Sphere, but not long ago, and from store, and I hear this music being piped over the, And I waited to speak to the manager. I said, what's this? I said, oh, listen carefully. It's whatever you said, a cappella, whatever. I don't know whatever you said. There are no instruments. Listen carefully, no instruments. maybe if you talk and listen very carefully, it was not. But if you have to listen carefully to hear that you're not hearing music, so then it's not, it's certainly not the ruach of the Indian, and it's something that definitely shouldn't be done. Now, at the same time, I'm not saying that you can't go into a store. Let's say you need to go into a non-Jewish store where the 3 weeks don't exist, and they're playing music over loudspeaker system, a store or an office or whatever. So the poskim, that's okay. You don't have to walk out, or you don't have to avoid the store. You're there for shopping. You're not there for to listen to music. Yeah, of course you shouldn't sit back and listen. Oh, that's, I like that song. Of course you shouldn't do that. Probably if it's a non-Jewish store, you probably should be doing that the rest of the year as well, because who knows what's being played. But during the 3 weeks, certainly not. But to go into the store, go shopping in such a store is okay. You don't have to, select the store where they're not going to have or go in with ear plugs or anything like that. And by the same token, this far and bring down, if you call someone on the phone and you call an office and you're put on hold, and there's music being played over the to keep you from hanging up, which you're tempted to do anyway, especially when they keep interrupting and telling you how important your call is to them, and they'll be, the next available representative will be with you momentarily, and you're more tempted to hang up. But you don't have to hang up just because of the music, or, you know, like, sort of block your ear. Not the other, that music. The idea is that the iser, or the minhag against music, is primarily meant that music which is mevili de simcha, which is what music often does, and is perhaps the primary function of music, when it's simcha, the music which you're hearing on the telephone is not designed to, nor is it likely to be mevili de simcha. It's just, as I say, you shouldn't get bored or whatever it is. But same token, a person that has an alarm on his whatever it might be, his alarm clock or his cell phone or whatever it is, that's a tune. But it's not, or his ringer might be a tune, where it's not maybe the simcha, it's just a way of individualizing or whatever. It doesn't have to be changed during the 3 weeks. In fact, in the Sefer Kovetz Halachas, I saw he brings that the one who wrote, Kleinerman, who wrote the Sefer, said he said over to Shmuel Kamenetsky, whose psakim are represented in that Sefer, he told him that he heard from a certain, he called him a Gaon Echad, recommended that if you can change your, I forget whether it was the ringer or the alarm, whatever it is, if you could change it from being a tune for the 3 weeks, you should do that. And Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky responded that it's a Churma Yisera. That's a bit more than, Rav Shmuel feels that's more than you're obligated to do. Okay, but the Yisod is, because it's Simcha Shel, Mishira Shel Simcha is the real Yisera. At the same time, we're not saying that, therefore, if you want to listen to classical music or other things, that it's okay to do. There are those that could say that, but that we would not recommend that. We would not recommend listening to any type of music which is, as I said, either with klishir or which is simulating klishir, shouldn't be done. But when the whole mahus of the whole thing, it's not klishir to begin with. It's just something, like I just said, like a telephone hold or something like that. That's already a different hagdara. Now, one of the shailas that's asked, people ask very often, is what about if I listen to music while I'm doing exercise? I'm exercising, and it helps me exercise to have music going while I'm exercising. So various poskim talk about this, and again, there are definitely studying to be makel there. If particularly when the person finds it necessary, when he finds he's not, it's just not going to happen. He finds the exercise itself is too tedious, taxing, boring. He does it, but at least if he can listen to music, so it keeps him going. Keeps it going, and he does exercise, and exercise is important for him. So under those circumstances, one could listen to the music. When it's not necessary, or when it's not going to be the, make it or break it, he'll do the exercise anyway. He enjoys listening to music, and it makes it easier. It helps the time pass the time, or not focus on keeps him going. But lemaisa will do it anyway, and it's really not, it really shouldn't be done. I did see one of the Sefer called Shoshana Yisrael, who quotes many psukim from Shlomo Miller, who basically says there that while there's makom to be makel when it's necessary, but one should not be quick to be makel in such a thing because of the idea behind it, because the idea is to be memayed in minei simcha, and from there, that could lead to being matur in that area, could lead to other areas. So the bottom line is, as I said, if a person really needs it, particularly if it's a type of an exercise program where he's like doing it to the music, to the rhythm, to the beat, that's how the exercise, he could do that. Or if as I said, if it's necessary to, he's going to end up not doing it otherwise. But when that's not the case, it's really right to avoid it. Another case, as far as I speak out, is a person that's driving. Let's say driving on the highway, or driving a long distance, and he simply needs the music to keep him going. And otherwise, he's going to doze off. Then it's certainly okay. Mishum sakana, it's okay to be listening to it. Now the question is, well, what about for young children? Are young children included in this minhag not to listen to music? or not to play music for them, or are they not? Now, in general, in all areas of the halachas of the 3 weeks, this really needs to be addressed. Anything we talk about, the question is, does it apply to children, does it not? And maybe we'll talk about, between this week and next week, some of the other areas, about eating meat during the 9 days, and about laundry, etc. So in each area, the question is, what about children? Where do they fit into this? So when it comes to music, so it seems to be pretty accepted that children shehigiyu lechinuch should not be listening to music. Now, higiyu lechinuch means the standard age of chinuch, meaning when it comes to the halachas of the 3 weeks, there's another darga, there's another level. Besides higiyu lechinuch, there's a level called higiyu lehisabel, when a person reached an age where which is higher than stam chinuch, where he's already at an age where he can have some appreciation of the Aveilos Yerushalayim, meaning higiyu lechinuch, stam higiyu lechinuch for mitzvahs and for brachos, it depends on the mitzvah, but it's around six, 7 years old, around that age. That's what we say is called higiyu lechinuch when it comes to general nyanim. But that age is not called higiyu, lehisabel Yerushalayim. That age is older. Some say, the higiyah lechinuch lesabel is maybe 35. You know, meaning to say, we are lacking the real full appreciation of the extent of it. And but in any case, it's certainly older age. But what I'm saying is, when I say higiyah lechinuch here, they are talking about the regular age of chinuch. Once a child is an age where we've been chayich and mitzvahs, then we should not. We should also train him and teach him not to be listening to music, and certainly not to be playing music for them or allowing them to play music during the 3 weeks. Children that are younger than that age, the svarim by and large are not makpid on. There's a tshuva in the Igros Moshe, for example, in the Archaim Dalet Simchaf Aleph Oz Dalet, where he mentions this, and he just speaks it out that starting with the age of chinuch, one should this should be avoided. But for small kids, and it's no gay every single year because it's during the summer and they're camps and they're having, and school also they have it. But of course, in camps, they're doing different things with music with the kids. So small children that are at a young age, low gil chinuch, it's okay still to have music things for them. Now, in terms of the older kids, so besides not, sitting down and listening to a recording of music or not playing music, it would include even tapes or nobody's tapes anymore. I mean, whatever you want to call them now, different types of recordings, which are not purely music, but it's a musical. It's a story, but it's what we call a musical. I mean, it's based, and there are many songs in it, and it's like it's built around music, as opposed to other types of tapes and stuff, which are basically stories. Stories, or perhaps either just fiction stories, or stories of Gedolim stuff, where they have background music, or they'll have at certain intervals they'll have music, but it's not what you would call a musical. So for that, the Svarim, the Mekel for Ketanim, even Ketanim Shigiyu Lechinuch, but if it's the thing is primarily not musical. And if there are parts that are where it's like a musical interlude, then it could be it should preferably be skipped over. But otherwise, if it's just background music or incidental music that they make for ketanim, then the question becomes: what about music lessons? What about a child or an adult who's taking music lessons, or perhaps giving music lessons? So there is a bir halacha in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Aleph, which is the siman that discusses these halachas, in Siv Beis, where he says the following. He's actually coming from the perspective of Masa Umatan. It says that from Rosh Chodesh, from the beginning of Chodesh Av, the first of Av, until after the Tainis, Mematin B'Masa Umatan, U'Bibinyan Shal Simcha. Mematin B'Masa Umatan. So, okay, so, and the Mishnah Berurah discusses, does that mean Masu Matan of Simcha or Masu Matan? But on that, the Mishnah Berurah, the Yerlach addresses, what about a person who's who's a musician, and he plays at non-Jewish affairs? A non-Jew is having for him the 3 weeks don't exist, so he's having the same affair that he might have the rest of the year. Can a Jewish musician take a job at such an affair. So now we're only addressing this particular shaila of the 3 weeks right now. Is manenu, it's very possible that the majority of such affairs are not appropriate to be at all together for a variety of reasons. But talking about where there's nothing particularly inappropriate about it year-round, the question is, what about during the 3 weeks? So says the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Vayim prima godim shekasav di Yisrael sheparnasaso klei zemer etz la'akam, a yid whose parnas is to play music for goyim bebeis hamishteh, geirah, it would seem, dechdei parnasaso shari. It would seem, says the prima godim, that to do it for his parnasa enough to be mefarnas himself would be mutter. He wouldn't have to suffer and go without parnasa because of this. Ayin sham. And he continues, "V'dayim b'derech ha'chayim de'mashma minei de'eino matar prima godim elam b'yitzayim b'tamas ad Rosh Chodesh." The derech ha'chayim, that's the Nesivus, says that it seems though that the prima godim is only being matar up to Rosh Chodesh and not during the 9 days. Now that last point is a subject of debate. There are achronim that understood the prima godim differently, that he is being matar even during the 9 days, or at least up to Shavua Shecholbo. We mentioned before, Shavua Shecholbo is the only time where there are certain things that a mamish usher meikar adin. Music is not listed. The Mishnah that says the things that are usher meikar adin, starting with Shavua Shecholbo, doesn't list music. But in general, Shavua Shecholbo is a much more chomer period. So some say that the isser is only during Shavua Shecholbo, if at all. But the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Derech Chaim that it applies even from Rosh Chodesh. However, in any case, from the beginning of the 3 weeks, still Rosh Chodesh, the Mishnah Berurah says it's mutter kedei parnasaso. So on that, many svarim draw on that to say, therefore, a person who's a music teacher and he has students, he has non-Jewish students or students who are allowed to take lessons during the 3 weeks, so he'd be allowed to give the lessons. And what about a Jewish student taking lessons or practicing music during the 3 weeks? So if he's doing it, so some say they base it on this, they use this as their standard. If he's doing it for parnasa, the person's learning to play music with the expectation, the hope that this will be a form of parnasa, then he'd be allowed to do it. Certainly, it's an adult who's really knows why he's not a child that his parents are giving him lessons, and who knows where it's going to end. He's an adult, and he's taking lessons specifically because he wants to play in a band, or he wants to whatever, he wants to be a musician. So then it would certainly be a mutter to play or even to practice to the extent that he needs to in order to sharpen his skills and to be able to further his parnasa. That's what I'm saying. That would be mutter at least until Rosh Chodesh, and as I said, some suggest that even after Rosh Chodesh. Whereas if it's purely for pleasure, the person is learning to play music for his own personal pleasure, not for, to perform, but to perform for pleasure, not for a parnasa thing. So then, many say that would not be mutter to do, even from the beginning of the 3 weeks. And one should reschedule the lessons. Now, the other cheshbon starts coming in. Well, let's say it's a davar ha'aved. We know that there's a rule that a person is not required to lose money or suffer another significant loss for avelis. The concept of davar ha'aved is doche. It's doche even Rechman Tzan, a person sitting shiva. There are certain things which davar ha'aved is doche, certain hilchas shiva, and certainly these halachos. Now, it's interesting, I say certainly, on the one hand, we find that the halachos of the 3 weeks and 9 days in some ways have chumras over personal avelis, and some ways have kulas. What I mentioned before about children not listening to music or playing music once they gila chinuch, the Ramosh in the Tshuva, I believe, speaks out that even though typically avelis, we don't impose avelis. If a child, God forbid, loses a relative that a person normally sits shiva for, a parent, he doesn't sit shiva, a child under bar mitzvah doesn't sit shiva, but here, because it's avelis derabim, it's in that sense, it's more chomer, and they're supposed to participate with the rabbim. On the other hand, in some areas, it's more kal. But in any case, over here, getting back to the question was, what about davar aved? So we said davar aved pushes off avelis, and what happens if a person already committed himself to music lessons, or he already hired somebody for music lessons, and he's not going to be able to make up the time. If he doesn't take his lesson during the 3 weeks, then he's going to lose the money. Lose the money means, let's say, he needs the lesson, so he's going to have to pay for another lesson afterwards. So that would become a shaila which should be avoided, though. This is the type of thing a person is supposed to work on, you know, try to figure out in advance and not get himself, not to call up the Rav in the middle and say, oh, I already paid for this, and now, am I allowed to go? Am I allowed to take the lesson? That's something which a person should definitely try to work around, and if he didn't, then okay, then he should ask a shaila, but and see what the Rav tells him. In any case, that is the rule of thumb that many apply, that it depends on if it's being done for Parnassa or not. Just a second, let's see if there are other main...
What if it's a hobby, but it's Davar Avid? Meaning you schedule during the 3 weeks that you're going to go for a guitar lesson. It's just a hobby, but you're going to lose out on the lesson. You can't reschedule them.
Yeah, so that's really the type of shaila I was mentioning before, that it's the type of thing a person should try really to work around in advance, and you know, not to schedule them initially. So you say he can't reschedule, and he's going to lose his money, or he's not going to be able to get the learn the skill.
He's going to lose the money.
Lose the money. Yes, that was the shaila I was saying. So you would have to guess. A person would have to ask a shaila on the spot. There might be other different factors that would come into play.
Would acapella be less mutter or the same as regular music?
You mean less usher, are you saying? It should be treated the same. It should really be treated the same. Yeah. It should be treated the same as other things. Okay, that's the general, covers a lot of the shahs that come up with music, although they certainly say that people that come on to a person who's has like emotional issues or whatever, and he needs music pasha to keep him calm, or other type of therapeutic things where it's real, you know, real therapy, not just an excuse, but a real therapeutic thing. So that of course is going to be okay. I mean, all forms of refuah are okay. Even on Tisha B'Av, if a person has to be rochets for refuah, you know, can certainly during the 9 days, and so certainly music during the 3 weeks, which is if it's mamish therapeutic, mamish some form of health issue, then of course it's gonna be okay. But again, one always has to be honest with themselves.
So just to be clear, it will be permitted to listen to a Hassan singing Teilim without any instrument. I don't know, a recording in YouTube of Hassan with a beautiful boy reciting the Teilim, and right. I really, really enjoy it. So it will be permitted.
So those who say that a recording doesn't have a shame of a klei shir would permit it. Okay. Others say not. I mean, even Chazan is like that. Once it's recorded, like we mentioned over Rambam Yashiv and Rav Vosner, say that a recording itself has inherently called the klei shir. So
so which opinion do we follow?
I think on this one could be Mekel. Yes, it's Rav Moshe and the Shuv is Mekel, and we're definitely talking about it. Yeah, I think one could be some Echel and Mekelim on this. Okay. Another main topic here is, which is very well, widely asked about, is purchases, making purchases, clothing purchases, or other items during the 3 weeks, 9 days, etc. So, during the 3 weeks until Rosh Chodesh, the main issue is not to purchase something which is going to require you to recite the bracha Shechiyanu upon the purchase. That is because it says in the Shulchan Aruch at the end of the Siman Tav Kuf Nun Aleph, it says that Sif Yud Zayin Tov Li Zoher, it is appropriate to be careful Milomer Shechiyanu Bein Abitzarim Al Pri or Al Malbush Avol Pidyon Aban Omer Loyachmas Mitzvah. It's proper for a person to be careful during the 3 weeks from the beginning of 3 weeks not to say Shechiyanu on a new item. Now, which would mean, when it comes to, let's say, a malbush, so one shouldn't go out and buy a malbush which is going to require you to say Shechiyanu when you buy it. A garment. Now, what kind of garment do you say Shechiyanu when you buy it? Well, first of all, it has to be a chash of a garment that gives you a lot of simcha. We don't make a Shechiyanu. Someone asked me today, he needs some ties. Can he buy new ties? So I said, sure, I told Rosh Chodesh you can buy new ties. We don't make a Shechiyanu on a tie. we make shechi. Most people make shechi even on a shirt, or certainly things that are less chashivas. Where might a person make a shachianu? Perhaps on a new suit, or for a woman a nice dress or something. That has to be something which is you don't buy so readily.
Jewelry.
Yeah, jewelry would definitely be a question of shachianu. Yes, maybe we'll get back in a second. But I'm talking specifically garments now. It has to be a garment that you don't buy every day. You buy only once in a while, and it's something chashik. It gives you a lot of simcha to wear. Now, for some people, a suit is not in that category. Some people do buy suits very often. It's either people who, let's say, wear a suit every day and, let's say, to work, and they have to make sure they're always in good shape, and or people that have a little more money to spend, so they buy suits more readily, and they give them away to somebody else when it's still in good condition. And there are plenty of people get suits that way from others that are buying them and changing them every couple of months or so. And so a person like that, very likely wouldn't make a shachian even on a suit. But for the average person who buys a suit, I don't want to say how often you could figure out for yourself, but only every once in a while, to the point where he does, when he buys a suit, he gives him a kishmak. He really gets on that. We get to buy it and to wear it. So if the suit were ready to wear when he bought it, he buys it and he's ready to put on, the din would be to make a shechianu right away. Now, with a suit, it's almost never the case, though, because when you buy a suit, it usually has to be tailored. The pants have to be hemmed, hemmed or cuffed or whatever, and sometimes other forms, and often it has to be checked for shatness. So it's not ready to wear. So if it's not ready to wear, you don't make the bracha when you buy it. And once you don't make the bracha when you buy it, you're even allowed to have a tailor then and shatness check during the 3 weeks, because till Rosh Chodeshav, you're allowed to buy it and have it checked and or tailored. Because once you don't make the bracha when you buy it, you don't make the bracha when you fix it either. You wait till the first time you wear it. That's when you make the shechianu, the first time you wear it. So you'd be allowed to have it fixed and tailored and Shabbos checked. And then, but then you couldn't wear it during the 3 weeks except on Shabbos. Shabbos, before Rosh Chodesh Av, you're allowed to say Shechianu. That's the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah here in Sif Katan Tzadiches. You're allowed to say Shechianu on Shabbos. And therefore, you could wear the new suit on Shabbos, or you could put it on just before Shabbos. Even if you want to wear it, already Friday night, you could, when you get dressed for Shabbos, put it on, and then wait for Shabbos and make the bracha once Shabbos starts. Wait, the bracha. This shaila comes up often. It's bar mitzvah boys who are becoming bar mitzvah during the 3 weeks. They ask the shaila, so they have a new suit for their bar mitzvah. So you put it on Friday and wait till Shabbos to make the bracha.
So they wear the suit. They wait till Shabbat, and in Shabbat they say Raha.
Right. It's just a short time. I'm not saying put it on 10 o'clock in the morning. Put it on when they're getting ready for Shabbos in the afternoon. Then the din is, as long as it's the first time you're wearing it, you can still say Shechianu. Once you wore it once and took it off, put it on, you don't say Shechianu. But the first time you're wearing it, you can say Shechianu, even if you didn't put it on, even if you didn't say it immediately. If it wouldn't be the 3 weeks, or if he's only putting it on Shabbos morning, then he should say the bracha right away when he puts it on. But this way, you can wait a little bit till Shabbos begins and say the bracha. So
I assume just putting it on to see if it fits, like after the tailor, that doesn't count.
Yeah,
as...
right. If it's just mom, just trying it on, and that's right. Okay. So if it would be a different beged, which is the same madrega as a suit, but it's right to wear right away, or if it would be something other than a beged, like a nice piece of jewelry, expensive piece of jewelry, or expensive by that person's standards, which gives him a lot of simcha, or gives her a lot of pleasure, or some other keli, for example, let's say a person who's single buys himself who needs a car, and he buys a new car, even if it's not brand new, but it's a used car, but it's new to him. The din of shechianu doesn't work on kelim chadashim is not only if they're brand new. It means if they're new to you, as opposed to if you owned it once and sold it and then buying it back, then you don't have a shechianu. But if you owned it, you never owned it, and you're buying a used car, and you get a lot of hanah from this, you got a lot of simcha having this used car, you would need to make a shechianu. So
you have to say shechianu in a new car.
Wow. However, but let me qualify. I said a single person.
You're excluding Tova Meitiv.
That's what I'm getting at. A single person makes bracha shechianu. A married person who's buying the car, assuming it's not exclusively for him, assuming his wife will be able to use the car as well, especially if she drives, or it's a family car, then the bracha is not shechianu, the bracha is hatov ha-meitiv. Because once it's tov, it's good for you, and it was good to me, and meitiv lachrini, to others. So the same item, that the individual is buying it purely for himself, the purpose of the single, for example, says Shechianu, the person who's married and buying it for himself and his wife, for himself and his family, says Hatov Ametiv.
That's Baruch Ata Hashem,
Hatov Ametiv. Baruch Hashem, Alkeinu
Melech Olam.
Baruch Hashem, Alkeinu Melech Olam, with the real Shem, Hatov Ametiv.
Okay.
And that says, said a number of Acharonim, including Ramoshes and Talmud Shuvas, that you can say during the 3 weeks. There's nothing wrong with saying Hatov Ametiv in the 3 weeks. The problem is the bracha of Shechianu. Why is that? So the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sadiches why is there any issue with saying Shechianu? He says Afal Gav Dafilu Avel Mevarech Shechianu. A person who's sitting shiva could say the bracha of Shechianu. Mikol Makom Yomim Elu Kivin Shazman Hahu Zman Paranas. This time, the 3 weeks, is a time of tragedies and. It's not appropriate to say thank you Hashem Shechianu, you brought me Lazman Hazeh, even though what you really mean is Lazman, this time, meaning that I got to buy myself, I got a new car or I got a new suit. That's what I really mean by Shechianu Lazman Hazeh. But the expression Lazman Hazeh gives the implication of that, you know, the broader time, and it's not appropriate to say that during the 3 weeks. So Once the nusach of the brach is not shechianu with lazman hazeh, it's hatov ametiv, then there's no problem. So the same item could be bought by a married person. Now a suit or whatever a garment that you wear, only you wear, it's shechianu even if you're married. Your wife might be more happy that you finally bought a new suit than you are, but lemaisa, you know, it's for you. It's for you're wearing it's the brach of shechianu, not hatov ametiv. But a piece of furniture which is for the family. Or an appliance, an expensive appliance. All these things you should make a bracha. You buy yourself a nice, you know, a couch or certainly a dining room set or something, or even an appliance which you get a lot of hana. You buy a new dishwasher which is get a lot of hana getting this. You know, it's an expensive machine and it save you a lot of undesirable work and keep the house. You know, simple things like that, or so other types of appliances you make a bracha on shechianu if it's a single person or a tavo meitiv. Otherwise, so that those again would be examples of things which you should not buy during the 3 weeks if the bracha would be shechianu.
So if I get a bookshelf that is going to make me happy and also going to make my wife happy, but it's for my books of Torah, can I get them during the 3 weeks or better to wait?
Not till Rosh Chodesh, I think you could, because assuming again that's really, it's for the house, right? It's a piece of furniture for the house and it's not for your office, your private. So then it's, the bracha would be a tov ametiv, then you could get that till Rosh Chodesh. From Rosh Chodesh and on, we don't buy any of these things. Whether it's shechianu, whether it's a tov ametiv, or whether it's no bracha, any chash of a purchase like this, certainly clothing, and clothing many say even if they're not chashiv, even mamish according to many, even like gadam tachtonim, it shouldn't be bought during the 9 days. There are those that are makel on those, but even certainly like ties or shirts or whatever, definitely should not be purchased during the 9 days. Regardless of the bracha, whether a bracha is said or not, but till Rosh Chodesh, it would depend on the nusach of the bracha.
If a married person got, let's say, a fancy car, that of course he's not going to say to his wife, you can never drive it, but it's really for him, a sports car, whatever it is, would he make a shechianu on that?
And his wife,
he's not going to say to his wife, you can't take it.
But she's not going to want it. She's not going to want to drive it.
But really, he's getting it for him.
She's not really even that interested, and she's probably not going to drive it.
She has her own car.
Make
shechianu on a new house, too, if you buy a new house?
Well, again, a married couple, instead of Tova Meitiv. But yes, if a single person buys a house, you pay shechianu. But there also, you have to wait, and Rabbi Kiveri says, you have to wait until the mezuzahs are up. Because till the mezuzahs are up, it's not roi l'dira, and you don't make a bracha on a house. But once the mezuzahs are up, then you make a shechianu. That's typically what people do. The mezuzahs, we learned this, the mezuzah, need to go up. If you own the house, then or an apartment, if you own it, the day that you move in, the day you don't have 30 days, you move, but till you move in, you could wait. But the day you move in, you put up the mezuzahs, and then you make the bracha on the mezuzahs before you put them up, and then you make a shechianu or a tov ametiv.
In the car example, assuming you have kids, you're driving them around. Is that even if your wife doesn't drive that car?
Well,
it's still for your family. You're still using it for like your kids.
Okay, I mean, if it's a family car, meaning it's not only for the husband. He's going to use it. But not just agav, meaning that's a purpose of it.
Yeah, like he has a car seat in it. Just his wife has the nine-seater, and he has a five-seater.
Yeah, then lechara, then the bracha would be a tov ametiv, and it's for multiple people. Now,
so, even kid, even if, so say, yeah, the husband gets a fancy car and he'll
use. But he's planning on using it for the family. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, then yeah, it's
a convertible, you get to say Shehayana.
That's what I'm thinking.
What do you say, yeah? What?
Better to get a convertible, you get to say Shehayana.
A convertible?
Two seats. Oh. For the family.
You still take one kid with you, but.
Yeah. Okay. Now, in the event, let's say it's a garment which requires Shehayana, it's ready to wear, and it requires Shehayana when you buy it. So we said there, really shouldn't buy it, but L'maisa, if it's a situation where it's going to be very...
If a sale is
one heter, if it's Davar Avid, where you really, it's at a real gain or... real savings, which is not likely to repeat itself afterwards so quickly, that would be a heter. But let's say even it's not that, but it's going to be a tercha to get it afterwards, or it's really opportune, and you know, or you're not sure if it's going to be available later, etc. So then there are those that are makel, you could buy it and wait with the bracha until you put it on. I mean, you can't put it on during 3 weeks, except again on Shabbos. But you, even though normally, technically, the bracha should be set upon the purchase. But lemaisa, many anyway don't do that. Many wait to say the bracha till they actually wear it, even if it's wearable when they bought it. So if one needs to, one could rely on that during the 3 weeks to buy it, not say Shehayana, and wait and say the Shehayana the first time they wear it.
You mean Shehayana on shoes also? Man on shoes? Or?
So if they're chashev shoes, and it gets enough of them, yes. Now there is.
Even ask what is like if it's cheap shoes, would you?
No, cheap shoes for sure. No, they would have to be.
Was it like $100 or something?
So it depends on the person. For many people, they're $100. You know, they only buy a pair of shoes. Everyone's a few $100,000 shoes is taka. Other people, you know, that would.
$30 shoes, you wouldn't make it.
For most people, I would think $30 shoes would not be a reason to make a bracha. Now there is a Ramah that says that you don't say to a person like the expression like tischadish. On shoes, or he brings out such a thing, and he says some say because they're made from leather, and it means it involves.
They wear
it? Not to say like tischadish. Normally, a person buys something new, so there's any you say to tischadish. What does tischadish mean? It means you should have to renew it. Meaning halavai, you should wear it out and have to get a new one. So wow, that's what you tell me. I just bought it. You're telling me. You're saying yeah, very nice and enjoyed v'chul, but halavai, you should outlive it. I mean things wear out, and Bez Hashem, you should be zocha to that is very nice, but let's not get too out. Let's hope that you outlive it. That's what tischadish means. Oh, I hope you have to renew it. Hope you need a new one. So, but it's a way of saying enjoy it, but enjoy life. So there's a brought down the concept of not saying it on leather items, and but the Ramah says it's a shvacha for it's a shvacha reason. It's not the, so some apply that to Shehayana. We don't make Shehayana on shoes. The only reason not to make Shehayana on shoes is halacha would be because shoes if they're not so chashuv. But if they're really and they're bought more common. But if they are chashuv, the person allowed hana and he doesn't buy them often and he did spend what he considers real money on, then yeah, they can make a Shehayana on shoes as well. Okay, so that's the basic rule with in terms of purchases. Till the 9 days. Once the 9 days comes, then, as I said, any real chashuv purchase is limited. Maybe we'll see more details about that. But tefillin, we don't because it's a for a dvar mitzvah, and it says mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. Unless somebody gives you tefillin, if somebody buys you the tefillin, then tefillin are worth whatever, $1,000 more or less, worth a lot of money. So you just got $1,000 value. Forget about it. So then you could make a Shehayana. But if you had to buy it, so if you spend $1,000 to buy yourself a couch, so okay, I spent $1,000, but I get that enough. And even though I didn't go up in my bank account, it went down. But I just switched the money but I get enough from the couch. So by tefillin, no, because I lost $1,000, and tefillin is not called hanah because mitzvahs lav lehenes. But if I got the tefillin for free, so Rishon Mazlava says, yeah, then you make a bracha. You just got $1,000 value for free.
It's
not a bar mitzvah boy, isn't it? If so, Rishon Mazlava used to be makna the tefillin to his son on the day of the bar mitzvah that they should make a bracha, Shehayana, if you would makna to them. But I'm not sure if many people know that many people do that. But bad some otherwise on the mitzvah itself, you wouldn't. Okay.
Quick question, Ron.
Yes.
My wife.